I'm Graham. We also have Brad.
Hello.
And Brett.
Hello.
The Oklahoma duo together again for another edition of the Crew Podcast. So we just recently wrapped filming Barry Sternlicht, the billionaire entrepreneur, somebody who I'm probably more interested in than anybody on the team because, you know, here's somebody who came from nothing. We were with him in Miami, in Hawaii. We also visited with his daughter, the champion equestrian, a couple hours outside of Miami in Wellington. And curious to get your guys' thoughts on the shoot.
You want to go first, Brett?
I'm glad we were able to do Barry Sternlicht because this is someone you were pushing to do for a year, probably.
A long time.
So we were able to do Barry, and we put a lot of time and travel into Barry as well. So
you guys were like, what the f*** are you doing, Graham? Like, why are we?
However, we can get into this as we go step by step to all the places we went, but the end result, I think, was worth it because someone like Barry, who I think talks in a lot of business lingo and has, you know, there's a whole side to him that is tougher, I think, for the normal person to like really gravitate toward. So when you're with him in Hawaii and you're with,
meaning
with his daughter.
The normal person, meaning somebody that's not in finance.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So our viewers who, you know, we haven't profiled financial people, a few, but to our normal viewers to kind of get them to care and gravitate towards the show, you want to be able to do it up and show compelling things both visually and obviously with what specifically is being discussed. And so I think we're able to accomplish that by getting Barry on site in Hawaii rather than just talking about hotels. He's showing us hotels rather than, you know, have him talk about his daughter, Adrian. We're showing Adrian. And rather than, you know, talking about the workout, we can actually visually see that. So a lot of work went to it. You guys were at his house. And so Brett can pick it up from there. On kind of the, were there any challenges with the house or anything like
that? Which you said was hideous.
Yeah, right. You know, and it's kind of what we started the episode with because it was such a beautiful home. And it felt like one of those places where you did not want to make any sudden movements and break anything. Like leaving the lights with the water bags and, you know, that stuff, I was very nervous leaving that overnight.
Well, so. And he has help at his house that is on top of everything. Like, you do not want to upset his handlers.
Yes, as we were getting a tour of the house, and we can cut this if this is too much information, but there was multiple photos taken by his house manager of things that needed to be taken care of before you showed up the next day.
But in reality, I don't think we should cut that from the podcast because we toured with Barry his hotel in Hawaii and Barry acts the exact same way. So the only reason the house manager was acting that way is because Barry sets the tone at the top and he is attentive to detail and every little detail that some of us might consider inconsequential or big deals to him.
He talked about that in the interview, how the only GM he ever fired was over dead flowers. And I think he may have fired someone in his house over dead flowers. I'm just kidding. But it just, he lives that. Like, he micromanages every element of his work and home.
So. Well, it's something we learned about Barry through preparation for this. One of his biggest weaknesses, he says, is retaining people too long. So he rarely ever fires. He just transitions people into other jobs where he doesn't have to deal with them.
I guess, you know, to wrap up Miami a little bit, just the sit-down interview, was there anything that you thought was your favorite part that Barry talked about?
You know, the stuff that was most interesting to me was around, you know, his dad and the Holocaust and his dad starting a company, having some success, and then it failing, and like the impact that upbringing had on Barry and then also, you know, later in life when he's raising his three kids and in his marriage, just, you know, talking about like life stuff that everybody can identify with, highs and lows and, you know, struggles in one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly spots where it's one of the things that's great about, you know, talking to these high profile people is all of them are interesting and they all have their own unique perspectives on challenges and things like that. So going through, there's always something you take away from each guest where it's like, you kind of like ingrain it like, oh, like maybe I should start thinking that way or maybe I should.
What was it with Barry for you?
I think, well, the first thing that came to mind was that I'm actually stealing something that Carlos, who's behind the camera here, he had commented in the script about when he was talking about managing his relationship with his ex-wife. That caused me to kind of reflect on that part specifically and be like, oh, you know what? Yeah, like, he is the same. We were joking yesterday up in the office about how everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time, and Barry is no different.
I thought there was a lot of interesting stuff that came out of it, including his like rivalries or just not really rivalries, but just run-ins with other powerful CEOs and billionaires like Steve Wynn and, you know, just people he's come across in business. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's been connected to everybody from, you know, Warren Buffett's late right-hand man, Charlie Munger, to President Trump, to you name it, Barry has likely crossed paths with them. And I'm gonna cuss again, but like, he's one competitive motherfucker. Like, you realize being around people who've had a ton of success in business, like, they're no less competitive than a big time athlete. And I don't know how visible that was to you guys, but it's like, you know, we were flying with Barry from Hawaii to LA, he kindly dropped us off. And, you know, it's like a 5-hour flight. He's typing away the entire flight on what is otherwise a holiday for most people. So aside from him being competitive, one thing that I reflected on after the interview that's less a takeaway, but just more unsure how I feel about it, you know, in his early 60s, made all the money anybody could ever want to make, has had tons of professional success, yet the grind seems no less intense than you'd expect from somebody who has yet to make it. And
it's the only way he knows how to operate. It's just that same speed all the time.
Right. Like, and I know those close to him are trying to get him to slow down a little and, like, you know, smell the roses, enjoy the fruits of his labor. It's a game, right? Like, meaning business, like, it's a game, and it's obviously a game he does well at and just enjoys, like, enjoys the process of having success. I mean, it was funny, like, you hear success, I always read memoirs of successful people, and all of them always talk about how the most fun they ever had was the process to getting there. And I remember being with Barry on the beach in Hawaii at his one hotel, Hanalei Bay, formerly St. Regis. And I remember asking him, I'm like, you know, you enjoy the process or actually getting there? And he's like, oh no, I like getting there, and, right? What
it was, it was achieving the goal, I think.
Yeah, achieving the goal.
Achieving the goal.
That's funny. That is a little different than a lot of people say. So what do you think of Hawaii?
Hawaii was gorgeous. It's really interesting to his, I mean, we've mentioned his attentiveness to detail and just how granular he gets with certain things. It is really funny to think of the guy who owns it all going around the hotel and changing the orientation of plants. And, like, for very specific reasons of it doesn't look natural enough. I think the single funniest thing to me in the whole Hawaii tour was him commenting on the floor of the elevator. Like, who cares about the floor of the freaking elevator? And this guy is saying that it's not natural enough. if anything, like, kind of, I mean, it wasn't, it's not sexy at all because you're in an elevator, right? There's no beach there. There's no plants or pool to comment on. But you would think that that's what he would pay attention to, which he did, plenty of. But who cares about the floor of the elevator? But this guy does. So that's what stuck out to me, I think, from all of the Hawaii stuff, was just going around with him and picking out all of these things that could change.
I was certain I was going to fall off stand-up paddleboarding. And, you know, it is windy, the tide's going. I don't have good balance to begin with, and I'm like, I'm going to be the, I said dumbass repeatedly in the episode, I'm like, I'm going to be the dumbass that falls off while this guy that's almost twice my age and in 10 times better shape is just going to be there looking at me. And that, of course, would then be the end of the episode that you guys would use. So I'm like, please, let's not do this.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been amazing. I think we talked about that, right, Brett? Like, if he did fall off, like, that would be the perfect end of the episode.
I was cheering for it.
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, and the hike was, you know, interesting. Were you tempted at any point to try to have the photogs walk backwards up that that path in Hawaii?
I think
I knew he thought
I know,
about
I,
it.
I think in the show we probably held the angles behind him for a little too long, but I was like very, very impressed with Seth specifically, our DP, and his ability to keep up the entire hike and get all sorts of different angles. I remember being in it thinking like, oh my God, like this is really, really impressive.
And one more behind the scenes thing from Hawaii is you guys got to fly in style.
Barry kindly gave us a lift in his plane. You know, I think he was conscious of the fact that he didn't want to make this episode turn into Lifestyle the Rich and Famous, which, you know, we didn't include the plane for that reason.
Oh, yeah, we wouldn't. Yeah, totally. We would not have flaunted, like, oh, here's this guy's private jet. Like, right. He joked that the only reason we were there that he was flying us was our ticket, basically, was we had to give him honest feedback about the hotel.
Right.
And so it was funny to say some of the things about the hotel. And he had picked up on, you know, I had asked him, you know, why do the pools close before sunset? And he was like, oh, I didn't know that. So I don't know if that's something he included in his email, but it's funny to be able to potentially offer up our own insights that then went into what he was typing up. Hopefully we didn't get anybody in trouble. That was my first time on a private jet. So certainly that's a lifestyle that I will never have unless Graham pays me a ton more money.
You know, the one other thing that I want to point out before maybe we wrap up is for as tough a guy as Barry is regarded as, and for as hard as he can be on people, he would admit he's a little mushy on the inside, but then also for as demanding as he is in business, he's had people that have been with him for decades, like decades.
And I think one thing that shouldn't go in terms of behind the scenes, you know, Brett, you really missed out on the experience of going from LA back to Miami.
Oh my God.
You really missed out. So I'm gonna take you through the 24 hours that we had. So we flew from LA back to Miami.
What time? So
it was a red eye flight on a Thursday night. LA to Miami, we land in, so this was Carlos, myself, and Graham kind of went through this whole 24-hour period.
Carlos was still tired from it.
Carlos, I think, is still tired. I think we landed at about 5 a.m. local time. It was an hour-plus drive from Miami Airport to Wellington, where Adrian's horse farm is. And so we were able to check into a hotel in Wellington for maybe an hour to just basically freshen up, change. I didn't sleep at all. At that point, I would have been more tired just getting an hour of sleep. But then an hour later, we were on set shooting with Adrian at the farm. And we did that for about 6 or 7 hours. And then it was packing stuff up to get to the airport that night. And we almost didn't make it because the line was super long at the airport to check baggage. So Carlos and I are sweating it. Luckily, I mean, everything was fine on that front, but in 24 hours, we went, or took a red eye flight, and then also then came back, did a shoot, and then came back home.
Right. On both coasts and both then coasts. Back to St. Louis.
And I honestly, so much about that day is like a daze to me. Like, I remember it, but like, remember it.
And lastly, just quick shout out to Barry's team as well. They were fantastic. They did go above and beyond in making this happen. So we had an amazing team back here. Everybody that pulled this off. And then big thanks to Barry's team as well. For Bradley, Brett, I'm Graham. Goodbye.